This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I have with me Hanley Chew, CEO of Berjaya Hotels and Resorts, Sdn Bhd. They own and operate 20 hotels and resorts around the world. Welcome, Hanley, to The Breakfast Grill. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. It's good to be back here after a few years.
So the last time you were here, Hanley, you were with Sunway. So now you've just come on board as CEO of Berjaya Hotels in April. But, you know, you've got a long history working in this industry. I think it's more than a quarter of a century
yes,
now.
Yes, that's right. It's close to 25 years in the industry. I was with Sunway for about 12 years. That was quite a long time. After that, I joined the Khazanah's Destination Resorts and Hotels, developing new hotels in the country. Yeah, I set up my own consulting firm a little bit after that, and now I'm with Berjaya Hotels and Resorts.
All right, so I guess the natural place to start is, since you've come on board, it's just been a few months, you're still kind of seeing it with fresh eyes. What is your assessment of Berjaya Hotels so far?
Well, Berjaya has got 20 hotels in 7 countries with over 3,300 rooms. There are 10 hotels in Malaysia, 1 in the Philippines, 3 in Vietnam, 2 in Seychelles, 1 in Sri Lanka, 2 in the UK, and 1 in Japan. Now, Berjaya is a 25-year-old company. And as such, it is actually a very matured organization, hotel company. And the direction really ahead is to continue building these portfolios via either acquisition or management of properties, and also to enhance the property hardware because many of them are already, like I said, matured. And as far as our role is concerned in the corporate office, we want to create additional value for these hotels through service deliveries, through operational efficiency, increasing our brand equity and customer satisfaction.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. But I mean, when you come to the table as an industry veteran, right? You know what is out there. You've seen the best hotels around the world. But what is your assessment of Berjaya, apart from it being mature? And I'm taking that to be slightly older properties, right? Mm-hmm. So what is your current assessment of Berjaya? Where do you see it at and where do you see it going forward?
Berjaya is positioned in a very good positioning, in my opinion. It is a mid-scale hotel. Berjaya has never pretended to be an upscale or a hotel of a five-star. I think we do very well in this segment where it is mid-scale. And it will continue to be in this segment. The emphasis really is to enhance the property values, create enhancements, and also improving of service delivery.
What do you think about the Berjaya Hotel brand? I mean, you know, talking to people who have stayed at your different properties, you know, not just in Malaysia, but across the world, what is, apart from it being mid-scale, what is the Berjaya Hotel brand?
As you know, Berjaya is the name of a huge conglomerate in Malaysia. And because of that, the founding chairman and the chairman himself realized that moving forward, we might have to move away from the Berjaya brand. And as such, we are already in the process of creating two new brands, and one of which is called the ANSA, the ANSA, spelled ANSA, and the other is the Living Room Hotel brand. Really, this is to differentiate with the Berjaya, because Berjaya consists of a mixed bag of properties. Mm-hmm. We have very small properties from less than 100 rooms to properties of 600 rooms. And also, there are properties that is managed by third parties, such as the Sheraton in Hanoi, the Intercontinental in Hanoi. And this year, we will be opening the Four Seasons in Kyoto.
So the properties here in Malaysia, the hotels and resorts within Malaysia, are those all fully Berjaya-managed hotels?
Yes, they are. The ones in Malaysia are all managed by Berjaya.
And which hotel or which property contributes the most to Berjaya revenue?
Now, there are two properties that is really, in fact, very much neck-to-neck in terms of revenue contribution to the group. The ones is in in the Langkawi, the Berjaya Langkawi Resort, and also the Times Square Hotel in Kuala Lumpur. These two contributes a huge percentage of the total revenue to the group.
Neck to neck, one is resort and one is urban.
Yes, in terms of revenue contributions, they're about the same.
Okay, and are they around the same age as well? If I'm not mistaken, I think Berjaya Times Square is slightly newer.
Yeah, the Times Square is slightly newer.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, just coming back to your CV, which is impressive, Handley, I have to fall back on that.
Thank you.
The 12 years that you've spent with Sunway Hotels. Now, similar to Berjaya, Sunway is also a conglomerate with a very strong brand, but not a brand that you would associate with hotels. Mm-hmm. Do you see similarities between what your work in Sunway and what you plan to do here with Berjaya?
No, there are some similarities. I mean, both companies have property development as well. And I think what we want to move forward really is to see the hotel as part of a real estate venture. Yeah, because in the hotel industry, it is no different than any other real estate business. We really should be measuring this now based on the revenue or the profit that we can generate per square feet. I mean, traditionally, hotels are very into measurements of average rates, occupancy, but really...
RevPAR,
yes.
Sorry, and, just to clarify, revenue per available room.
That's correct, yeah. Revenue of... per available room is defined as revenue that you generate from each room, whether they are occupied or not. So we're trying to change the way to measure performance in each of these hotels.
Why though? Why, Henry?
Why?
I mean, those are the accepted metrics of the tourism industry.
No, certainly so. You see, whether you build a hospital or a hotel or a shopping mall or anything for that matter, at the end of the day, every built-up space, there is a built-up cost. And so really, the measurement of success should be gauged on you know, what kind of profit that you can generate per square feet. And if that profit that's generated per square feet is lower than the rental rate just next door to you, then I think we would have failed as a developer.
Do you approach this as a property development point of view, or do you see it as recurring income and, you know, hospitality? Because I have to say, hospitality is more than just the room rates, right?
Absolutely. No, I'm seeing it from an investor point of view. If you were to invest X amount of money, investment, to build X amount of space, you would want that each space generate you income. Mm-hmm. And hotels should not be any different. I'll give you an example. For instance, a lobby of a hotel usually is the most inefficient, because the lobby requires a double volume, requires a very nice luxurious space, because rightfully so, because they the first impressions
makes a statement.
Correct. Mm. But the lobby does not generate you any income. And a lot of hotels tend to put a lobby lounge, for instance, and no lobby lounges in the country makes any money, you know. So it is, in my opinion, a waste of space. A waste of space. And lobby has got to be very prominently located, and most of the time it is located on the ground floor, which all these things would have to change.
Prime real estate, right?
Absolutely.
So how would you change it? Would you scrap the idea of a lobby and just put a reception desk at the front door?
No, moving forward, really we have to be prepared for the millennials that is really going to come into the market very soon. The millennials now are, what, 16 years old? In the next 2-3 years, they are going to come into the market. And with these millennials, their needs are very, very different. A Starbucks lobby works for them. And
What do you mean a Starbucks lobby?
No, I mean, a lobby that looks like a Starbucks, that functions like a Starbucks, can well be a check-in venue for them. And I don't think they need the chandeliers, the thick carpets and all. So I think we really have to think very differently, because as a typical hotelier like myself, I'm also trying to change after being in the industry for a long time. That we really should be looking at the needs of the customer rather than what we want to build.
I'm speaking to Handley Chew, the CEO of Berjaya Hotels and Resorts. After this, a little bit more about this new breed of travellers that Handley's been talking about. Stay tuned right here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Good morning. Today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Hanley Chew, CEO of Brijaya Hotels and Resorts. Now, Hanley, we were talking a little bit about millennials and how you think that it's time to disrupt the way we think about hotels. Now, I'd like to quote a part of the statement that was released when the company announced your appointment. Hanley Chew will bring into line new product innovations and marketing initiatives that will better meet the needs of a new breed of travellers in line with emerging travel trends, both locally and internationally. Now, just this one line, one statement, I find so many things to discuss here. New breed of travellers, new product innovations, emerging travel trends. Let's break it down and continue our discussion with this new breed of travellers you're talking about. They're not specifically just millennials, but just travellers who are looking for something that perhaps they weren't looking for 10 years, 20 years ago.
Yeah, we're taking the millennials as an example because really they are going to determine the kind of hotels that's going to be designed and built. You see, we must not forget that the millennials were born with gadgets. The Gen Y is quite different. The Gen Y loves gadgets. But the millennials, the moment they were born, they have the gadgets with them already.
Born with a gadget.
They were born with a gadget. So if you supply them with a new gadget, it doesn't really excite them anymore. What the millennials really need is connectivity. I think that is the one word that is really going to be associated with the millennials. Meaning to say, they do not want you to give them another gadget, another phone, another tablet when they're in the hotel, but they want to use their own phone, provided they can connect with the facilities within the hotel. For instance, I want to use my own phone to open the door. I want to use my own phone to turn on the TV, to switch on the lights and all. But again, this is moving forward, this is definitely going to be it. Now, the millennials, they want flexibility. Yeah, gone are the days where you tell them the guests that breakfast stops at 10 o'clock, for instance. Right, these new guests, they want to eat when they want to eat. If it is breakfast at 3 p.m., so be it. So that flexibility component is actually very much lacking in the hotel today, because we are all striving for operational efficiency.
Exactly, right? I mean, how do you incorporate flexibility at the same time making sure that there are processes in place for that?
Yes, it is quite a task. It can actually become very inefficient if we allow too much flexibility. I think, for instance, hotel practices 12 o'clock check-in time, 12 o'clock check-out time. But with the millennials, they want to check in and out as and when they want. Yeah, so I'm moving forward, I believe more and more hotels are going to come up with procedures or with services that allows the guests to use of the room for 24 hours. Meaning if you check in at 10 p.m., you can check out at 10 p.m. tomorrow. I think that kind of flexibility goes very well with the new type of guests.
Is this something that you want to implement in Brijaya Hotel properties?
These are new services that we hope to implement in the new brands that we are going to roll out.
So the Ansa and the Living Room Hotel. Well, tell us a little bit more about this because, I mean, are these going to be kind of lower-priced hotel rooms? Are you building new properties for this? Tell us more.
You see, we have the advantage of operating Brijaya Hotels for the last 25 years. And with this length of time and experience, we notice what the client wants, what the guest wants, and what they don't want. And most of the time, the guests in this segment of business, which I said earlier, mid-scale, they want a no-nonsense kind of service. They want to go straight to the point. They do not want to be staying in a very pretentious hotel. For instance, if the room rate is 300, don't position it as 299.99. You know, it's that won't work.
It's a psychological thing,
that's
isn't
right,
it?
But that,
it doesn't work anymore?
No more for this group of people. If the menu is 20 ringgit, stay 20 ringgit and not 1990. So all the unnecessary frills that a lot of hotels do, I think it's about time we got to reconsider that and we should take it out. Mini bar, for instance. Mini bar is a big hassle in as far as hotel operations is concerned. Not because of the content itself, but because when a guest take a can of Coke out of the hotel and buy one in 7-Eleven and replace it, it messes up all the expiry dates of the minibar. So things like that, we need a lot more manpower to manage a simple thing like minibar. So we rather give them either an empty fridge or a minibar that is inclusive in the room rate, and they can have all they want.
I mean, that's really quite interesting, because I feel like the hotel industry is ripe for disruption. And when I say that, I don't mean the Airbnbs and the boutique hotels. I mean changing the mindset of the people who have been operating within the tourism, the hospitality industry for the past 20, 30, 40 years. It's been done the same way. But now you're coming on board and you're trying to change the way people have run things for many, many decades. How are you going to be able to implement these ideas, which are quite controversial and different within the industry?
Yeah, I think we got to do it one step at a time. It is no way that we can change a 25-year-old company overnight. now, with this sharing economy basically all around us, whether it is Airbnb, whether it is Uber, I think we have to embrace it. We would have not much choice but to embrace it. And I don't think, you see, when as far as Airbnb is concerned, I don't see it as a huge competition to the hotel industry.
Really? Not even to a mid-scale player like yourselves?
You see, in a typical hotel, there are five main business segments that hotel caters to. Firstly, really will be the commercial FIT. Then you have the commercial group segment. You have the leisure FIT, the leisure group segment. And then you have the base business, which is long stay and extended stay. Now, for Airbnb, they can only capture the commercial FIT. The leisure FIT.
FIT stands for?
For free independent travelers. Meaning
free independent
non-groups.
Travelers.
Non-groups are known FIT. It means the one and two guests that comes and stay in here. They cannot do groups. They cannot do commercial travelers. So this is only one segment of the industry that would that the Airbnb can cater to. So really, I think the more players, the better.
But is that segment, the group segment, the business segment, are those growing? Because, you know, for me, it feels like it's the individual, the free independent travelers. Those are the ones that seem to be growing given the cheaper airfare. And, you know, travel agents, it's a dying business, a sunset industry. So therefore, you don't really see that many group holidays being organized in this day and age.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, as a country, as Malaysia, I think what we are not doing enough is to capture the MICE business, the conventions, the exhibitions, and the incentives business. Now, these are these are the segments that actually can generate higher yield because when people travel on such travels, they would spend company dollars. They would spend company money, so they would stay in better hotels, they would eat good food in
swipe
good
the
restaurants
corporate credit
and,
card.
And all that.
Yes.
And it is through these travelers that if they find the destination interesting, then only you would convert them to become tourists, because their next holiday with their family, then they would bring the family along. So I think as a country, we are not doing enough, or rather we are not focusing enough on conventions. We have the facilities, we have the KLCCs, and we have the convention centres all around the country. But I think we need to have a very strong convention bureau to target these segments.
On that note, Henley, now there was some news earlier in September that reported the Tourism and Culture Ministry planning to impose tourism service fees between 5 to 30 ringgit per room per night to anyone staying in a hotel service apartment. Now, the idea is to use that money to promote Malaysia as a tourism destination. And it could be for the MICE segment as well. And there's also recent news that the airport tax will be revised starting the beginning of the year. Do you feel like all these things will be detrimental to the tourism industry and to hotel operators like yourself?
See, that could be a long-term gain to all these proposals. But immediately, if you ask me, it is very detrimental because in Malaysia, we don't have queues of people waiting to check into our hotels and coming into the country. The numbers that we are seeing, in fact, last year we did 25 million tourists with tourism receipts of 69 billion. Now, the year before was a little bit better. It's 27 million with 72 billion. Now, but the kind of tourists or the kind of visitors that is coming to Malaysia today, I'm sorry to say, these are not visitors that is going to spend. These are not high-yield visitors. These are visitors that would come for a short holiday and they will go back. But I don't think it will benefit a lot of the shopping malls, the restaurants and the other
facilities. You mean the tourist spend is lower?
Yeah, the tourist spend, it is low. So really, while the numbers are there, the quality of the visitors can be improved further. And I think the way to improve it is really through this MINDS segment.
Okay. Well, what about the target to bring in more tourists from China? You mean, we've seen efforts from the Malaysian government to court Chinese visitors with a series of initiatives. Are those what you would consider high-yielding tourists?
See, Chinese tourists, there are. I mean, there are low-yield, there are also high-yield tourists. But I think the way to develop tourism is not by targeting tourists. The way to develop tourism is to target the MICE segment, as I mentioned, and let them convert themselves to be tourists. So see, they must want to come back. Right? Do you know? I mean, we see in our newspapers as well when we book a holiday overseas. They don't mention which hotel. They'll tell you ABC hotel or similar, because hotels don't matter to these tourists. So I think instead of focusing on the mass tourists, the numbers, we really should be focusing on quality. And in quality, I mean people that can spend. And Malaysia has got all the infrastructures. We are known today as one of the cities that has got the lowest rates. And not surprisingly, why? Because there's no demand. There's no right demand.
Is there a price war going on in the mid-scale hotel segment?
There will always be a price war. And I think price war is a healthy thing because it shows competition. Right? But the fact still remains. In Kuala Lumpur, for instance, a current corporate account can only pay between the 600 to the 900 ringgit for a 5-star hotel. Now, if you position yourself outside this range, chances are you're not going to see a lot of business coming through your door. The 600 to 900, if you convert that to US dollars, it's about $150 or so. It is actually very low by international standards. But that is the range, sadly to say.
Okay, Hanley, just very quickly as we wrap up, I'd like to know, going forward in the next year while you are in office, I want to know what you will be focusing on. You've mentioned a whole host of different things, everything from targeting these new breed of travellers, as you mentioned, and changing the mindset within this 25-year-old company. But what is it that you want to tackle first?
First, I think we have to look within ourselves. We have to make a lot of improvements to the quality and the service standards of the current hotel that we have. Eventually, we will need to export our expertise outside, meaning we can go into management of hotels besides acquiring good portfolios. So that really is where I'm going to start. We're going to look within, improve what is within before we go out.
I've been speaking to Hanley Chew, the CEO of Berjaya Hotels and Resorts. It's been a pleasure learning about the hospitality industry with you, Hanley. Thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you, Melissa.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.